Good evening, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. I am your host, Mac, here once again, bringing you an hour of music with me and my trusty Victrola. I'm trying something tonight. I'm trying to Facebook Live it. So it's on, and I've never done this before. And I am going to see how long my battery lasts on the phone and do this tonight. You know, that was a Victor record from 1921 entitled Goodbye, Shanghai. Goodbye. That's what I'm saying. Goodbye tonight. Because I am not on the WFMU schedule going forward. So this is going to be my last show. Now, before you get all crazy, let's talk about it. I think there's going to be a little more talk tonight than usual. So let's talk about it. You know, I remember back when I was a listener to WFMU in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, you know, I was listening and I thought, oh, what a great station and how would I love to be a part of it? And I had this idea of a show where I'm going to bring, and I was just discovering all the Victrola music because I've been a record collector my whole life, but I was just discovering the acoustic era. I got my first Victrola a few years ago, and as an FMU listener, enjoying unique programming, I thought, I've got a unique program. And this is before computers, folks. So I called up the station manager, who was Ken at the time. And I said, Ken, I got an idea for a show. It's going to be this. I'm going to have phonographs and gramophones in the studio and play records. And as he likes to tell the story, it was one of the first shows he gave a go to on the phone, on the pitch. And I've really been here now for 21 years. Now, I've gone through a lot of changes in those 21 years. I certainly have. And so has the state of antique music. Now, when I first was starting to do this, I mean, even before I started my show, my relationship with the Victrola was one of discovery. It was one of having friends come over and say, listen to the quality of the sound of this machine. Listen to these 78s. It's totally unlike anything you've ever heard. And I actually was able to do a few presentations. I was getting out there. I think one of my first one was a first night in Red Bank. It was, you know, first night is the non-alcoholic alternative for people for doing something on New Year's Eve. So I was living in Red Bank at the time, I believe. And I said, I contacted the first night people and they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you. And I brought a variety of machines, played records, we talked. And in a certain way, it was the prototype of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Had a couple opportunities after that. So really, my interest and my work in this realm had started before my radio show here. And so I contacted Ken and he's like, yeah, I actually think I did a cassette demo. And I was on Irwin's show one time. That was my, besides volunteering, my entree into the world of WFMU. So I started the show. I remember the first night I did it. I believe Stork was my engineer, and it was in East Orange. And I had my friend Michael DeVecca there for moral support. And it was kind of a mess, the show. And he said something to me after the show like, "Mac, I'm not sure you're ready for this show." I said, "Michael, this show is a journey of discovery. I know that I am not the expert on this show, but it's all about playing records for people and letting them hear the records." In this pretty much undiscovered area of music, you know, back in the early 90s, 95, there were collectors with these machines and records, but very little reissued on LP. Were CDs out yet then? Yes, they were out. So it was really about letting people hear these artists as I was discovering them, and I'd be piling. It was about quantity in the early days, quantity. I would be finding as many records as I could and playing them. And so it was discovering what I liked and what I didn't like and getting it out there in a weekly, hourly show when you had to hear it on the air. And if I do say myself, it was a really unique concept in a show. And I was getting great feedback on phone calls. And, you know, fast forward to, I think around 2001 was when WFMU, my first show, started archiving. The show started archiving before podcasting. But mine was chosen among the first ones because of the perceived lack of copyright on a lot of the music. And we've never had any issue with that here at FMU. So my show has always been podcast, which has been great. So, you know, over time, I continue to do the show. And with the explosion of online activity, music, and ideas, collectors started going on YouTube and just putting a little microphone in front of their Victrola or their Edison phonograph. And they would play records. And suddenly this archive started building on the internet. And then you had institutions like the University of California, San Francisco, starting to put on their entire cylinder collection. We had the National Jukebox, which is now, God, almost every Victor record out there. And it's continuing to grow. So what I started, along with some others, has overshadowed me. It really has. You know, it might have been when I started, my show might have been one of the few places you could get a taste of this music. But now it's everywhere. I mean, there's so many channels. There's so much out there. And about 4 years ago, I was considering just retiring. I said, you know, is my show obsolete? Because there's so much of it out there now. And so I continued doing what I was doing because people told me they liked the podcasts. They liked the 1 hour show. They liked this thing I was doing of presenting some information about the records and giving it some context, which I was always happy to do, which was really my thing. And I don't want to make this show all about talking tonight. What I hope I've been doing over this last 21 years is making you not only aware of the sound of these machines, but also, you know, just like you're aware of Sugar Sugar by the Archies, like you're familiar with Stairway to Heaven, like you're familiar with Sex Machine by James Brown. These are all hit records that will stay with you your whole life because radio will not ever let them go. Well, my radio has tried to instill upon you the hits of the first 25 years of the last century. But not only the hits, everything. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But right now, I want to play another record, which was a huge hit for Mr. Zez Confrey in 1921. It was called Kitten on the Keys, a lovely record. And let's listen to this record. And I've got a lot more to say, and we'll continue. So here we go. Yes, just like you should know Please Please Me by the Beatles, Kitten on the Keys by Zez Confrey, one of the greatest ragtime piano players of the acoustic era. You should know him too. And that's what I hope I've done in this last 20 years, is made you more familiar, more comfortable with the sound of these records. And these artists, early on, I don't get it anymore because I think people got it. So people say, well, why don't you just digitize these records and clean them up? It's such a pain, isn't it? Lugging this thing in every week. I mean, this is the Vitrola I bring in. I'm going to try to do this on Facebook Live and talk at the same time. Oh, my God. I don't know if this is possible. I'm talking and I'm showing people the Vitrola, I think. That I bring in every week to the show. And, you know, it is a lot of work. Sometimes I'm doing three machines here and trying to do that. And it's a lot of work. But if I didn't do it, it would be defeating my directive, which is to get these machines and the sound of these machines as they were 100 years ago into our present day ears. It's such a different experience from what our listening is. I still am enamored by it and enjoy it. Now, here's the thing. My relationship has definitely changed to this music over the last 20 years. Most of you who know this show know that it's not really about what I like. It's not all about, oh, I like this record, so I'm going to play it. Now, I've tried to be inclusive of all the stuff of this period. And that's the idea, to let all this music of this era be heard. Now, in doing that, I got to say, I've played some real crap. You know, I used to think that some of these early ballads were charming and wonderful, and I still do sometimes. But now sometimes I just think they're boring. And let's face it, over 20 years, the show was bi-weekly for a short time, but every week, it's hard to get motivated every week to do a good show. And even sometimes you think you're going to do a good show, it turns out crappy. And sometimes you think it's not going to be a good show, and it turns out okay. And definitely in the last few years, I got to say, sometimes I've been bored with my own show. And I'm sorry if that came through to people, but sometimes, I would be the day before and I'm looking at records, I'm thinking, God, what am I going to play today? And I know every DJ goes through this, but for me, I'm more limited because I'm always limited by what is in my record collection. Any other FMU DJ can pick from, you should see the FMU library of records. It's huge. And CDs and MP3s. I mean, it's millions. Is that too many? It's a lot. So they can choose from all that. But me, I'm limited to my thousands of records. And what I've tried to do over the last few years is move out some old stuff and bring in some new stuff. And always excited to play new stuff. But you know, it's hard to maintain that energy all the time in my very limited scope, having bands on, doing remotes, having guests on really helped a lot. And I always love doing that. It's been a little more difficult in the last few years, and maybe that's come out. I'm not really sure, but now, I don't want to make it sound too negative like that, because it's like a lot of things in your life. If you have a job for 20 years, or you have a relationship for 20 years with another person, or think about the relationship with your parents or your brother or your best friend, it's not always good times. It's not always the best of times. It's going to change. It's going to be up times. Remember that time a few years ago when it really sucked? That's going to happen. So my relationship to this music and the period and the machines has been changing. Now, it's all good. All good. So I want to play another record now. I'm going to talk some more. I remember, I got to change the needle while I do this. Bring up my microphone. It's definitely been a big journey of discovery, which I'll get into in a few minutes in more ways than one of this music. And I've always been fascinated by the kinds of music that have been out there in the past that are really not too prevalent today. And the Artistic Whistlers were always something that fascinated me. Among my first records and my first Victrola I got was a whistling record, and I thought, really? This is what they were listening to? Or maybe not listening to, but what was available. It was amazing to me. And a really great whistling record that was used, I believe, on was it the Popeye show or the Three Stooges show, was this one by Arthur Pryor and his band, The Whistler and His Dog. And there are a lot of records with dog sounds on them. But for some reason, I feel like this is a real dog. There are a lot, Gilbert Gerard was one of the guys who did a lot of animal sounds. There were a lot of different animal and, what can we call them? Mouth sound effects people. But at the end of this, you hear a barking dog. I feel like for some reason this is a real dog, and you can tell me what you think. I'm not sure. This is The Whistler and His Dog, a 1913 Victor record by Arthur Pryor and his orchestra. Here comes the doggy. I know, it could have been a person doing it. I mean, I know I can do a pretty good dog if I want to. Oh, 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 oh. That sounds like a guy doing a dog. Oh, 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 oh. It's hard to tell through the noise, too. Yeah, that sounds like a person doing it. I used to be able to do a good turkey. I once did that in a Chinese restaurant, and the cook came out. That's a true story. So, there you go. My FMU show has been one part of what I'm doing in the realm of these machines. And the thing is, at FMU, you cannot talk about your outside pursuits relating to money-making gigs that you are doing. And there have been many things which I wish I could have invited you to on the air. But through going to my Facebook page, many of you are my Facebook friends, and we have our internal FMU breath of hot air. And I've been encouraging people to get onto my Instagram, and I have a page on Facebook called Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts. I really do a lot outside the show. And frankly, I'm amazed the opportunities that I've had, the travel I've got to do, the gigs I've gotten, and it's all been great having that spring up outside of the show. Now, I really had no idea where I was heading when I was doing this, except that I know I wanted to just be involved in this kind of music. And always doing the show, I always tried to do remotes and was doing other stuff outside this. You know, collecting antique phonographs when I first got into it was the realm of Ghost World. I mean, literally, a lot. Yeah, I met you. I can't tell you how many old men I met who were in their basement with their machines, and that's where they stayed. And you either went down to their basement to hear them, because they wouldn't move them out of there. Why would they move these valuable antiques out of the basement? They could be damaged. They could be hurt. And I thought, gosh, it's so limiting. I said, that's exactly not what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to get them out there. I'm going to bring them out to the park. I'm going to bring them out to places. I want to do a show where I bring them and I play them every week. Get them out there for people to see and hear, because they're so beautiful. And I've had many opportunities to do that, and I'm continuing to be able to do that, which is great. So I'm really blessed that my hobby has now turned into something else. And I don't really exactly know what it is, but it just keeps on going. So, again, I'm on Facebook. You can find me. I'm still going to have my Mac at WFMU.org email address. And also Instagram, Phonograph DJ Mac is the name, which I will always go by. And yeah, so let me play another record. I want to play another record. I've got a lot to say, but I don't want to make it all about talk. And I don't want it to be too down, because I'm feeling okay about this last show. And I'll talk more about if it's the last show or not. I'm not sure. We don't know. Is it? I'm definitely off the schedule until June. So I'm not going to be doing a podcast. I've got 15 years of podcasts and shows available to listen to. So that'll always be there. I'll probably be doing some fill-ins. Who knows? But I'll talk more about this in a few minutes. I want to play another record. Upbeat. You know, I want to stay upbeat. So let's do one of my favorite upbeat records. I mean, you might want to dance to this. Too Much Mustard by Prince's Orchestra. I believe this is a 1913 Columbia recording. Man, too much mustard is not enough, let me tell you. Thank you. Nice, nice. Good version. Yeah, I recently discovered a version by James Reese Europe and his band, which is a really fantastic version. And I tried to acquire it, but it was a lot of money. You know, that's something else that's changed a lot during this, during my 20 plus years of doing this show. And I think maybe I have been part of it, the cause of it. You know, the price of these records have gone up. But let me say also that there's a lot that are still cheap that are out there. But yeah, I always, sometimes there'll be a certain record, like, God, I'd love to play this on the air. I'm going to put out the money for it, to play it for you on the air. And because that's what I really think I've needed to do. And to keep myself interested, too. I wasn't going to do this show. It's partially a selfish thing, you know. I like toys. And these phonographs and Victrolas and things, they're my toys. So I'm playing with them. And I really loved being able to play with them with you all, whoever's been listening through the years. The reason that I'm going off the air is, now listen, I've really much had 21 years of unfettered access to WFMU. And I took myself off the schedule about 5 years ago for a short schedule because of a work thing. And then also about 2 years ago, and when Mike the Barber filled in for me, and then we did the next schedule together. And he went off on his own, and I was back doing my thing. Which is great. Now, there have been a lot of people who have been on WFMU for a long time, like me, some longer than me. Now, there are a lot of people who come in and out of the schedule, and I've been very lucky to have this long run. And it's a really tough job for station manager Ken to put together the schedule every month. There's a lot of veterans who want to get back on the schedule. And there are so many people wanting to get on WFMU. Ken, let me know. Listen, I'm going to take you off the schedule. I need to do it. I need to give someone else a chance. And at first I was like, how could you, to myself, I said, how could you do this to me? I do the most interesting show. I've been, I'm rejected. They rejected me. I'm rejected. But then I came around and understood. It's true. Other people should have the chance to be on WFMU. You know, every show on WFMU is unique. And they're made unique by all the personalities that are here. Yes, me among them. I've been very fortunate to be among all these great people. There are such wonderful people here that I've gotten to know. Mostly they're acquaintances. Some have become friends. It's a great atmosphere to be part of. And others should get the chance to be here. Now, I think that that is absolutely correct. Now, the big question is, this schedule runs through June. That's 10 months away. Generally, the conversation has been like that I'll be back. And I'm open to it. But 10 months is a ways away. Now, I'm still in it. This is my last show, and it's bringing up a lot of feelings. So how am I going to feel when it stops? How am I going to feel when I'm not preparing every week? It's work, folks. You know, to do the show, it's about an hour to get here. I try to get here about an hour before to prepare myself. And then you do the show, an hour to get home. At least a couple hours each week. Picking out the records, thinking about the playlist. Sometimes it's quicker, but it's practically a day of work. How am I going to feel when that's not a weekly thing I have to do? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to feel it and see. And you know, what's going to happen over the next 10 months with me not having to do it? Like I said, I'm active in this realm. I'm out there doing stuff. So I'm going to continue to be active and be doing stuff. Not on FMU, though, for the next 10 months. So what's going to be next? I'm not sure. But I can say for sure that, yeah, I never, as I was saying before, I never expecting to go so far as I've gone with this, in this realm. You know, I had a New York Times article last October about what I was doing in relation to my 20-year anniversary show. So there have been so many wonderful gifts that have come to me from doing this. I get people contacting me about machines, about records, wanting to give me stuff. You know, when you give, stuff truly comes back to you, and I realize that. And I've been on this path, but I don't really know where this path was going. This path had a lot of blind corners, and things are still continuing to be revealed to me. What I like to say to people is, in one way, I had no idea where I was going to, but in another way, I've been preparing for it my whole life. You know, you never know where your experience is going to take you. And my experience now in this realm has put me in a very unique position, which I'm very grateful for. So I'm going to continue to be out there and doing stuff. And it's as I've also talked about through the years, radio is a weird medium. Here I am, alone in a room. I've got now two feeds going out. I've got my Facebook feed thing going out. I'm doing this Facebook live feed thing. I should have been doing this all the time. And I'm going out on the radio. But I'm alone in a room. And I'm talking to myself, really. I'm trying to have a conversation with you, but it's one-sided. It's all about me talking. So I've gotten wonderful feedback through emails, through handwritten letters, through personal messages, through people I've met out in the world. And I used to take phone calls. And this was back in, I believe it was the East Orange days, or maybe it was the early days of Jersey City when we moved here. I'm playing this next record, which you must have heard before, and it's a record that you should be aware of as one of the top records of the acoustic era. Yes, We Have No Bananas, which I've played many times. It's one of my Stairway to Heavens. But the phone rang and the song was playing. I think it was my last song. And this woman was on the other end and, hey, it's FMU, what's up? She said, what are you playing? I was like, I'm playing a record on the Victrola. She's like, I've never heard anything like this. I'm like, yeah, I do this every week. She's like, but the sound is incredible. This music is unlike anything I've ever heard. I was like, yeah, isn't it? She's like, it's unbelievable. And we sort of both stopped. She was on the phone and we both stopped and listened for a minute. And she just was just exclaiming her joy that she's experiencing through me just playing some records. And I thought, wow, this is resonating. This is resonating with folks. So that was one of the moments I said, I'm on the right track. People are getting it. And I know a lot of people are getting it. I have a lot of people that show up each week on the playlist page and are leaving messages all the time. And they're still doing it now. And the thing is, with the nature of my show, with me cranking the machine, changing the needles, putting the information into the playlist, I can't really respond to everybody. I don't have time for that, to get in there and say things. You know, let me just take a moment and say to everyone who's enjoyed the show, thank you. I'm glad I could be here for you to play this stuff. It's been an honor. So let's play another record now. I need to do it. And it's a 1921 from, again, our old friend Billy Murray. You should know Billy Murray just like you should know Elvis, like you should know Prince. He's one of the big guys. So here he is with Yes, We Have No Bananas. 1921, I think. Sorry, I think I got to change the needle. I'm in, you know, this is part of the time-taking stuff. And let's see. Here we go. Yes? No. Maybe so. There you go. One of the big ones. Ooh. God, imagine how many needles I've gone through in 21 years of doing the show. A lot of needles. Oh, boy. There was a woman who asked me, she said, could you keep all those needles? I would like them at one point. I was like, sure. So I saved up months and months of them. Might have even been years. And then we had sporadic communications. And I finally said, I've got all these needles. She said, yes, I want them. And we met in Manhattan. This big bag of used needles. I was like, what are you going to do with them? And she's like, I don't know. But I want to do something with them because they have all been conduits of sound. And they represent something to me, and I really don't understand what that is yet. And I'm going to do something with them. I have to, I don't even, boy, the thing is, I don't even know if I have those emails anymore. I know who she is, though. She's a Facebook friend. I got to reach out to her and see if she ever did anything with those needles. Mm-hmm. I wonder. So, yeah. Really, I don't know what else to say, except I don't want to make it final because there's a good chance that I'll be back in June, but you never know. You never know. You never know what this world is going to offer you. You never know how your life's going to be changing. Hey, listen, if something could happen at any time to anyone in between their shows, and they could never be back. But I feel like 10 months is going to be quite a bit of time. And who knows what's going to be happening between now and then. And if this is my last show, I want to just be able to say some of these things about how much I've enjoyed it and how much it's meant to me doing this each week and how it's affected my life. I've always kept the mental space for this time in all my considerations of work and personal and other things, that this was my time to be here and do this. And it's a commitment. And as you know, at FMU, it's an unpaid commitment. It's a commitment that you do for the love of your specialty. You know, most FMU people have their specialties, and they have pretty wide specialties sometimes. But me, I'm one of the more specific shows, and there are others. And yeah. So, you know, I just played Billy Murray. I'm going to play another Billy Murray, because this song is definitely appropriate for today. Toot, toot, tootsie. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yesterday I heard a lover sigh.
A lover sigh.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Oh me, oh my.
Oh me, oh my. Oh.
7 times he got aboard his train.
Aboard his train.
And 7 times he hurried back to kiss his love again and tell her to see goodbye.
Tootsie, goodbye. There's no D in there. It's goodbye. That's the way they say it. Yeah, yeah. And You know, it's is all feeling good, folks. I'm just I'm almost out of needles. Good timing for that. Oh, man. I've discovered so much great music doing this show and at FMU. And, again, it's strange. I've learned in life that sometimes when you think something's over, it may not be. But then also, sometimes when you think something's not over, it actually could be. And I don't want to leave this schedule without having the opportunity to say some of these things, which it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to come into your ears every week with this kind of stuff to your regular listeners and your occasional listeners, to everybody in the realm. I want to wish you all the best for the future of good things. I know there are good things around the corner for me and you and all my WFMU brethren. I will continue to be a listener and a staff member and, again, be doing the occasional fill-ins and who knows what else down here. But there won't be the weekly show. And we'll see how that feels. And that's going to about do it. It's going to about do it, folks. One more crank of the old Victrola. One more crank. And simply saying, this is your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Saying nighty-night, everybody. Bye-bye. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 FM in Rockland and WFMU.org.
love song to the road. She'll come again, clearer than she feels now. Veiled in blue, feet in the moon. Thy kingdom come. It is in heaven. Thy will be done. Broken wings.